On this particular Remembrance Sunday, there is no children's church, but there the creche facilities are available over here if any parents want to avail themselves of that. Our assigned reading for today that we're to focus on is from the second letter to the Thessalonians. And that letter has this verse in it. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. These are the words from the second chapter, verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Some people in Thessaloniki, which is the Greek town where the Thessalonians lived in northern Greece, they were trying to spread the rumor within the church that God had already come back a second time and that the people had either missed out on the boat to be reunited with Christ or they were free now to go ahead and live and sin as they wanted to because everything was over. Everything had been already completed. And Paul and Silas and Timothy, because it wasn't Paul alone who wrote this letter, the three of them are writing to the Christians in Thessaloniki to implore them to realize that Christ has not yet come back. Now, at exactly 11:56 a.m. on a November morning in 1918, a cable report was sent from France to New York City, announcing that the end of the war had already arrived, that Germany has surrendered. And pretty soon, all across North America, newspapers were publishing special editions announcing in the largest typeface that they had available for their printing presses, war over, peace begun, Germany has surrendered. Even before the papers hit the streets, the stock market heard about this and closed down for the rest of the day. Telephone operators were receiving more calls than they had ever received on one day. Schools were closed, federal courts closed, businesses shut down. People were dancing in the streets all over America, and church bells were ringing. There was only one problem. This was the 7th of November, when this telegraph was sent from France to New York City. Germany had not even yet sat down at the table with France. There was no signature on any peace accord quite yet. You see, apparently what happened was that an overzealous publishing executive was having lunch that day with an admiral. And this admiral claimed that he had just received a phone call from an ambassador telling him that Germany had signed a peace accord and given up the war. But in fact, the shooting was still happening. The war was still going on. Now, normally, all of these news wires coming from wartime France had to go through the senior news editor for each of the different bureaus to be vetted, to be fact-checked, before they got to the States to make sure that everything was precisely accurate. But in this case, the publishing executive bypassed the editor. He forged the editor's name on the telegraph, and it got through all of the channels and made its way to the newspapers. And so people all over the States on November 7th were believing that the bloody war was finally over. In fact, when the news got out that day that that report was wrong, mobs started filling the streets. They went to the paper houses that were telling the true story and destroying them. They were going to the newsstands and the newsboys who were selling the newspapers with the accurate story that the war was not over. They were grabbing the newspapers out of the newsboys' hands and destroying the newspapers. One newsboy reported that he had 150 copies of his newspaper destroyed by a mob. Now here's a copy, the top part of an article that the New York Times ran telling the people about the false cable from the previous day. Now, of course, a few days later, the Germans did finally sign the armistice at about 5 o'clock in the morning on 11/11, and it took effect at 11 a.m. The words from our letter again this morning: don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Now, in an earlier letter to the Thessalonians, Paul, Silas, and Timothy commend the Thessalonians for standing firm in the Lord. And then elsewhere, the early church was encouraged in a similar way. The Corinthians were told to be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And the Galatians were ordered to stand firm. So Paul and his cohort's message to the churches, not just in Thessaloniki, but throughout the Christian world at that time, was to stand firm, to be vigilant, to keep pressing forward no matter what. Now in 2 Thessalonians, basically, the people are being told to fear not. But why do the people need to be told, don't be so easily shaken in your mind or be alarmed? It's not only because of these false reports that Christ has already returned. It's also because Paul, Silas, and Timothy are prophesying that a great rebellion against God is gaining steam. Paul, Silas, and Timothy are warning God's people that the satanic lawless one, who is the beast and the anti-Messiah, will be allowed to come and wreak havoc on earth. They are imparting an insight to us that Satan maintains power and the ability to do supernatural signs and wonders. And they're alerting the people that deception is the tool of the enemy. And so in this letter, Paul, Silas, and Timothy are admonishing us to live in such a way that when rebellion comes against God and God's people, we will be prepared. They're letting us know that we need to have such a relationship with Jesus, with the Father, and the Holy Spirit, that when the lawless one comes, we have nothing to fear. They're pleading with us to make sure that we are so familiar with God, so that when supernatural signs and wonders are manifested and brought before us to be amazed at, we know whether those signs and wonders are drawing us closer to God or further away from God. And finally, they're telling us that we had better be more like Jesus if we want to be able to discern deception when it confronts us. Now, when rebellion comes, when the lawless one comes, when deception comes, we need not fear. Why? Because if Jesus is our Lord, the Bible says this: the Lord Jesus will overthrow the lawless one with the breath of his mouth and destroy the splendor of his coming. And normally we think of the breath of God as that which creates life. We think of Adam being breathed over by God and coming fully to life. We think of the valley of dry bones receiving the breath of God and being recreated into humanity. And God's breath is creative and recreative and does do those amazingly good things for those who receive God's breath in that way. But God's breath can also be received by the wicked, and it will kill the wicked. And it says that simply the splendor of his coming will have the effect of destroying evil. So we have nothing to fear, because the mere breath of the returning Christ will kill the evil one. The splendor, the epiphany of his parousia, of his coming again, will once and for all destroy death and destroy evil. And so Paul, Silas, and Timothy say this in verse 15. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast. And we can say today to one another, even as our fallen veterans stood firm and held fast, whether at the Somme or at Normandy, we too must stand firm and hold fast until our Lord's coming. Amen.